Hello, podcast listeners. Thank you for tuning in today to the Inscape Quest podcast show. I am your host, Trudy Howley. Here I am talking with people about how they engage with their relationships, work, and passions. Please subscribe and share this show with a friend. And thanks to you, we can grow meaningful conversations together, one episode at a time. In this episode, I have the privilege of discussing some of the impacts of the words, "Thank you for your service," with Vietnam veteran Bob Lisi. Well, welcome, Bob Lisi, today. Very happy to be having this conversation with you, and I'm sure it'll be one of many. Just to introduce you to our listeners today, you were a medic with the U.S. Army and a veteran of the Vietnam War, and you served with the 4th Infantry Division. And I'm happy to be enjoying a conversation with you today on the topic of the impact of words on veterans. So welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's get started, because I know there's lots of different ways of viewing interactions with veterans, especially with people who may be strangers, people that you don't know. And there is this common phrase of "thank you for your service." I'm curious, when I say those words, what generally does the impact of those words have on somebody like yourself?
Well, that can range from not caring to ambivalence, being offended. For me, the immediate question that goes to my mind is, what is it you're thanking me for? And my experience has been that most people, civilians specifically, those who have not served, have no clue really what it is they're thanking us for. It's just a phrase that they have grown to be comfortable with because they probably don't know what else to say or don't know how to engage a veteran in talking about their experience. And a lot of people are remembering back to the treatment that veterans got in coming back from the Vietnam War and don't want to repeat that. But the other side of that is by saying, "thank you for your service," for many of us, it's sort of a meaningless phrase. It really accomplishes the same thing, and that's disingenuous response to us, really not understanding what it is we've done in serving our country, the depths of our service to the country, and what those of us who survived the war physically, what we go through for the rest of our lives in trying to come home, in trying to heal from the experience of what we went through. Just saying, feeling that great divide of that phrase of "thank you for your service." It's a hello and a goodbye, and it's not a very meaningful experience.
I'm wondering if you would help us understand better specifically what that experience of coming home and "thank you for your service," how that impacts you as a Vietnam vet as opposed to somebody else who might have served in Iraq or Afghanistan. What's specific to you and the coming home experience?
Well, I would suggest it's not really much different. Just the act, in my opinion, just the act of sending us to war is in itself a moral betrayal. And I say it's a moral betrayal because politicians, leaders, military, our government, cultural, civic leaders, our political leaders, those in places of influencing the culture, they never tell you the real reasons that you're going to war. It doesn't matter whether you're in a democracy or an authoritarian regime. presidents, government leaders, they lie to you. They lie to you while you're going to war. And you don't know until you're involved and it's too late that the reason for your being there is a false reason. And it has very little to do with the national security. And I will say that in my lifetime, there has not been a conflict in which this country has been involved that has been an existential threat where this country's existence was in peril. There were wars of choice, and that especially was true of Vietnam, that it was based on the lies of a president and inaccuracies of understanding what was happening and lying to us as to why we were there after making promises that he would never send American boys to do what Asian boys ought to be doing for themselves. And within months of being reelected or being elected for the first time, was planning to send American troops to Southeast Asia to do exactly what he said he wouldn't do. And I find similarities between that experience of Vietnam and what happened in Afghanistan, and especially what happened in Iraq.
Has your opinion changed over time? Have you always felt this way, or has this been part of your healing journey?
I would say my opinion has changed over time, becoming more solidified in my understanding of what happened in Vietnam and what happens when we do go to war in this country and the political reality in sending us in harm's way. The people who send us there, they're not the ones who put their ass on the line for the country. And that's one of the more difficult pieces of someone who says, thank you for your service, and wondering, what is it that you're thanking me for? The purpose, the ultimate purpose of the military is to kill and destroy. And that's what we're taught. Here I am, an 18-year-old, recent high school graduate, and within 2 months of having been graduated from high school, I'm being taught how to kill. I'm being taught how to take human life. I'm being told it's justified because one man, the President of the United States, says it's justified. And the truth is, it's not. It is not justified. It is state-sanctioned murder. There is a price to pay for that. And those of us who are sent in harm's way to do that destruction, we pay the price the rest of our lives. Some pay the price because they don't come back.
Paying that ultimate price with your life and also family relationships as well, a whole group of people affected. Do you think that the general public wants to understand what military life is like? Do you expect them to understand what military life is like?
No, I don't expect them to. You cannot really comprehend war and the impact if you have not experienced it. On the other hand, if you're not willing to sit down and talk to those who have experienced it, how else are you going to know it? How else are you going to learn it? If you're not going to listen to us, if you're not going to give us the opportunity to tell our stories. And we desperately, maybe that's too strong a term, but I don't think so. We desperately need to tell our stories as part of that healing process, as part of the process of coming home. And this country does not provide the place that we can tell our stories, speak the unspoken and speak the unspeakable. And war is the unspeakable.
Thank you for beginning to tell your story here today. In order to support the general public not being so disingenuous, being willing to hear your stories, and I do believe there are people out there who do want to connect, is there a way of suggesting they can word themselves a little differently to initiate a conversation.
If there's a desire on their part to engage a veteran, my suggestion would be first to learn as much as they can. And I'm not suggesting a deep study, but to learn about the conflict. Also a willingness to understand what their part, and by their I mean the civilian's part, is in our going to war. They elect the leaders that make the decisions. The politicians establish the public policy, the foreign policy that results in sending us there. And they pay the taxes that buys the bullets, pays for those airplanes and the bombs and our training that teaches us to be destructive, to be the people who go out and pull the trigger. And even if we don't pull the trigger, we are the support people who make it possible for those who do pull the trigger. We're all involved in the process of killing and destroying when it comes to war. But my biggest caution to civilians is, if you're going to engage a veteran in talking about the war, make sure that you engage them and look at them, and that you don't turn away and judge them. The worst thing you can do is to make a judgment about the story you're hearing, because the story you're hearing, which may be uncomfortable, that's what war is. And that's what you sent us to. And that's what we have to live with. And that's what we have to make sense of the rest of our lives.
I'm hearing you say that it would be really important if civilians intentionally elevate their conscious awareness of their role in supporting policy and supporting military actions, and also to be willing to engage in the uncomfortable consequences.
Yes. A friend of mine, a veteran, he has a saying, which I totally agree with. And when he talks with civilians about war and the war experience, his comment is, if you're not willing to accept your responsibility as a citizen of this country for sending us to war, then we really don't have anything to talk about. If you're on that other side of this question, civilian and warrior, if you have not been to war, if you're not open to understanding your part in or having been sent and trained and the consequences to us as individuals as well as the society, then I agree with him. We don't have much to talk about.
So if a civilian is disingenuously saying thank you for your service and not willing to have a conversation, are you rather they just didn't say anything at all?
Yes.
Thank you for being clear about that. And I'm also curious, as you go about your day doing routine things that all of us do, what happens to you if somebody says thank you for your service? Does it bring you back into re-traumatization? What happens in those moments?
Well, my head wants to challenge them with, what are you thanking me for? Challenging them and creating more conflict is not the solution either. So I try to look at the individual like as basically they just don't understand what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They mean well, most of them. And I believe that they mean well. So I participate in a group, a project called the Warrior Story Field, where hopefully, eventually, it will have a larger impact on society in general and giving the opportunity for civilians and with the warriors to tell their stories, because we need to hear the civilian story too. They need to hear their side of what it's like for them to have to interact with veterans, and especially from the viewpoint of the spouses and the children of the veterans and the fathers and the mothers and the brothers and the sisters, were all impacted by that experience of war. And I'm still hearing, when I talk to college classes, which I do, high school classes, I still hear from some of the students about an uncle or a grandfather who they know was in the Vietnam War, but they don't know what happened to him. They just know that they don't talk about it, that they're silent. And when they hear my story and the story of my fellow soldiers, mostly they'll say, now I understand. Now I understand why he didn't talk. I understand why we didn't talk. I understand the silence. And their hope is that maybe the next time they see that person, if they're still alive, that they'll be able to have a conversation with them.
And I'm also thinking, as you're sharing this part, that there are statistics about women in the military having high rates of assault, yes, that they've experienced that. So even somebody of a different gender is being thanked for their service, that also might re-traumatize them from other aspects of trauma, not just serving, but from experiences within the military as well. So that there seems to be multiple layers here.
There is. And it makes me sad, very sad, that that's the case. Of course, in Vietnam, the female soldiers were primarily nurses, mostly located away from the primary combat areas. That's not entirely true. If there was a sexual harassment going on, and there, I don't doubt that there was, it was something, at least in the Vietnam experience, that I wasn't aware of. But when I first learned of what was happening to the women in the military by our own people, was in the early years of the Iraq War, about the second or third year of the war. I attended a lecture given by two veterans of the Iraq War, a male and a female, and she made the statement that 30%, about somewhere around 30% of the women were sexually harassed or assaulted by our own troops. And I was horrified by that. I was even more horrified by that 10 years later, that was still true, that hadn't changed. The percentage was still around 30%. And the military was being chastised at the time by the Congress for not having addressed the issue. And they promised that they were going to address the issue. And they haven't. That is still going on. I mean, I just find that so incredulous. I'm told that the sexual abuse amongst men in the military during the Iraq War and Afghanistan, mostly in Iraq, percentage was pretty high too. And again, it's very shocking that we are doing this to our own people. That's a very dark place to go.
With it being a dark place and also an important place to name, so thank you for expanding on that. Going back to being trained to put your ass on the line and show up and people thanking you for your service, would you rather they say thank you for your sacrifice or just thank? Is that sort of a little more tolerable in any way?
Saying thank you for your sacrifice is, I find it more tolerable. At least it gives some thoughtfulness, or at least some indication of some thoughtfulness that there's something more to the service besides just having put in time, that they have experienced something that maybe was more horrendous than what the individual is giving them credit for. But recognizing that there is something that they've gone through, an experience that most people will never go through, I think is very important. One of the things that Vietnam vets do to each other or for each other is still, at this point, it's been five decades. And to still say, welcome home, brother. When I came home and got off that plane at McCord Air Force Base, there was no band, there was no welcoming committee, there was no well done, there was just silence. In fact, it was four decades later that it was three horses that welcomed me home. That's a story in itself.
Yeah, and I hope to have a conversation with you about that story in a future conversation, because we do have, both of us have that deep connection with horses. I do appreciate the understanding and connection with the other sentient beings other than people, and how we can find great healing and comfort and relationship with animals. Yeah. Look forward to that conversation with you. Is there a specific example you might give about a particular incident of somebody saying, thank you for your service?
There is one that continues to stand out in my mind. It wasn't too long ago, a couple of years maybe by now. I guess to preface it, my vehicle has a license plate on it that says disabled veteran. And it's not that I want people to know that I'm a disabled veteran. It's that in having a disability, that it entitles me to a tax break each year that I don't have to pay for the relicensing of my vehicle, which is a significant amount of money. But in exchange of that, I have to have this license plate that says disabled veteran. It would be much preferable that the plate didn't say that, maybe just veteran. I was getting some gas. I heard this voice, rather gruff voice. The man said, are you the veteran driving this vehicle? I tried to ignore it. After a few seconds, why that voice again? Are you the disabled veteran who's driving this vehicle? And I realized I'm not going to get away without recognizing or acknowledging this guy. And I said, yes, I'm the driver. He said, thank you for your service. And then was gone. And before I could say anything or do anything or react to it, it just was such a dissatisfying encounter with this gentleman, whoever he was. I'm sure he felt he was doing his patriotic duty, perhaps. It was the whole conversation. That was it. It was hello, goodbye. He doesn't know me any better. I don't know him any better. It was just a totally unsatisfactory experience, in my opinion, for either of us. I don't see that anything was gained by it. But that is the acceptable greeting between civilians and veterans.
Thank you for sharing that story and for sharing your experience of that, which I imagine has happened more than once as well, and has happened to others, helping civilians be a little more aware of their interactions and how that may be well-intentioned, but the actual delivery and experience could be way more satisfying if those of us who want to appreciate your sacrifices are willing to engage in conversation, or perhaps just give you a nod or say thanks, go about the business of the day, unless there is time to exchange a few more sentences or minutes together.
Mm-hmm. As a veteran and one who has experienced the suffering side of war in a way that most veterans even have not experienced, because I was a medic and I saw that suffering in a more intense level, I hope that this country can learn a better way of dealing with conflict and a better way of helping the soldiers, when they come home, to return in a loving way. We don't treat veterans well. We expect the Veterans Administration to do the work for us. And I have to tell you, the Veterans Administration, no matter how well they intend to work with veterans are not capable of doing for us what needs to be done. The communities must step in and give us their time and their efforts and listen to our stories to help us to come home.
Thank you so much, Bob, for sharing your time today and also sharing some of your experiences. I look forward to having more conversations and bringing those to wider communities. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this InScape Quest podcast with me, Trudy Howley. If you like this show, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Podbean and leave a comment. You can also find me on Instagram at InScape Quest. Thank you for listening and for your shares. Cheerio for now.